Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 5th. We're back with you live. Molly Hemingway joins us for the remaining half hour of the program. If you remember, Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States, shortly after the election, came in for a lot of criticism because of something that he'd said in an interview years ago about a rule that he has as a statesman, as I believe before that, a businessman, that he didn't eat dinner alone with women who weren't his wife, and he had a few rules that he lived by. It was simply just kind of common sense that any husband put in that kind of position probably lives by without writing the rules down. And he was roundly criticized. Some even compared it to Sharia law and a low view of women. Well, it turns out that the New York Times has done a poll, and, well, the results there on that subject of how men and women interact in the workplace might surprise you. Molly Hemingway joins us. She's a Fox News contributor, senior editor of The Federalist, and author of the book Trump Versus the Media, and a recent column titled Months After Media Mockery, Poll Finds Americans Agree with Mike Pence's Rules About Women. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
So this afternoon, some news people, editors at the New York Times go out for a late lunch, and the subject of the conversation turns to their own poll on the subject of what's appropriate and inappropriate for men and women alone together who happen to be workmates. What does that conversation sound like, do you think?
I'm not sure, but hopefully the poll would encourage them to think about how people outside of their newsrooms view things. What was really interesting was that it came out after Mike Pence, there was a 15-year-old story that Mike Pence had rules about how he doesn't have meals with women who are not his wife and that he doesn't drink when she's not with him. And this was treated just as if it was the most crazy thing that anyone had ever heard. Media outlets were apoplectic with rage over this, and they ran story after story after story claiming that this was a horrible way to treat women and so messed up. And Twitter was even more outraged by what the vice president does in terms of guarding his marriage. So this poll comes out showing that, in fact, Mike Pence's views are well within the mainstream of American views on how to handle private meetings with people who are not your spouse. And it ranges from people being largely okay, although not entirely okay, with private work meetings, to a majority being opposed to private dinners with people who are not your spouse, who are in the opposite sex. So it was really interesting to see just how away from average American thinking newsrooms were in how they covered this supposed scandal.
So one of the things that I found interesting, if you would, kind of take apart the various questions and how they were answered in this poll, and if you would, describe what seems to be a difference between men and women on this issue.
And here was another interesting thing, and this was a poll not of all Americans, but voters for some reason. I don't know why they only polled voters or why that would be interesting, but women are more likely than men to be wary of meetings with the opposite sex, whether that's work meetings, having a drink, private dinners, or anything like that. Women were, in each case, more likely to express some concern about the propriety of such meetings. And I just think that's interesting because it was treated as if it was this sexist thing. And there was a difference here. Women and men were slightly different on this. And I think it's because women are also more acutely aware of the need to protect marriage. They're more vulnerable frequently in terms of the protections that marriage provide. And so once again, the media portrayal of this as horribly sexist thing where the only thing they could think of was how does this hurt women's careers? And they couldn't think of any other thing like how does this help women in general when marriage culture is strong? It's really telling about what kind of bubble people in newsrooms are in and how limited their thinking and how simple their thinking is about relationships between the sexes.
There were even several, and you documented them in your Federalist piece, but there were even several comparisons made via social media between Pence's views here, which, as you say, don't end up being that unusual at all, and Sharia law.
I mean, several journalists saying, so Mike Pence has concern about Sharia law, but he won't have a meal with a woman who's not his spouse. I mean, it was repeated over and over again by people. And they were mocking him, saying, you know, they were exaggerating the level to which he won't have meetings with people who aren't his spouse, with women who aren't his spouse. And it was unrelenting. But yeah, one journalist said, sincere question, how is this different from extreme repressive interpretations of Islam, quote, Sharia law, mocked by people like Mike Pence? And that was a common sentiment to hear. So they think that simply doing fairly innocuous, you know, simple things to protect your marriage, like not having private, intimate meetings with people who aren't your spouse, is equivalent to the most repressive regimes that harm women's rights.
The theme, and I'm sure you have delved into this deeply given your recent book, the theme that emerges for most people watching the media's reaction here, in this case the New York Times, and you can use the term out of touch, or clueless. I mean, there are a number of different ways of adjectives to describe the disconnect between what appears to be kind of average America and the people who occupy our media outlets.
This is why I think this is such a good example. So when this story came out, and again, it was a story in March that made reference to something Mike Pence said 15 years ago about protecting his marriage. And the media reaction was more or less unhinged. It was treating it like a scandal. It was trying to push this message that Mike Pence is sexist and that all Republicans are sexist. And you now have some data showing that, in fact, his views were well within the mainstream. Well within the mainstream of American thought. Not even by that do I mean that a significant minority held them, but that his views are far more mainstream than what was being pushed by these newspaper and radio and TV reports. And yet, these mainstream views were held up for ridicule. They were treated as bigoted. And this is par for the course. This is what Americans have been subjected to for decades, where mainstream traditional values are mocked and ridiculed and disparaged by our main media voices. And we rarely get stuff like this, so kudos to the New York Times for actually polling the question and publishing a balanced piece in response to it, showing that, in fact, it is our media who are all wet. They had no problem. You know, we've talked previously about gaslighting, where you try and make other people feel crazy as a political weapon, sort of, or as a weapon against them. And that's what this feels like, taking completely common sense things like, gee, marriage is important and you should have guides to protect your marriage, and treating it as if it's something that should not be tolerated in polite society. And that this is just a great example of how the media do that day in and day out on all values, particularly the ones related to sex.
Here is just a snippet of the Times reporting on the poll, and I'd just like you to take it apart and comment on it. Further, the poll results provide societal context for Vice President Mike Pence's comment made in 2002 and resurfaced in a recent profile that he doesn't eat alone with any woman other than his wife. How would you take that apart? How would you parse it?
Well, again, I want to say that the actual article that ran recently in the New York Times was good and far better than all the coverage we saw in March and April. But my former colleague Bobby Ross at Get Religion said that he thought that line, provide societal context, was hilarious, because he's like, this is basically a much less wordy way of saying this poll helps explain how out of touch progressive elites are on certain moral and religious issues. And in fact, that is exactly what the poll showed. It doesn't provide societal context. It blares a shining light on how the media tend to groupthink around, frankly, bad ideas, push those ideas, treat people who don't hold those ideas as enemies who need to be fought and obliterated, and how this cycle is repeated day after day after day, and why I think you're seeing a lot of tension between average Americans and people in the media because of this story, this way that, you know, it's not that people are surprised that the media are opposed to yet another Republican president. That's pretty much par for the course. But when they go after people's deeply held values, you know, when they're roaming the countryside trying to find pizza shop owners who they can hold up for ridicule because they don't share the same views on sex that the people inside CNN do, that hits people in a way that makes it feel like they're under attack by the media. When simple rules to protect marriage in a culture where divorce is rampant, where marriages fail every day, and where the ruins of those marriages, you know, whether it hurts men, women, or their children, is a day-to-day reality for all those parts of society that have to pick up the pieces, when people trying to protect marriages are held up for ridicule, it feels like a personal assault. And I think it would be good for many people in the media to realize how that feels when values are attacked day after day, you know, using powerful forces. The New York Times is a powerful force. It sets agendas. So does CNN. So do all these big media outlets. And people are trying to fight back against some of what of the damage that has been done by those powerful forces being used to accomplish bad ends.
Molly Hemingway is a Fox News contributor. We're talking about a New York Times poll on male-female workplace relationships when we come back. Why, when someone takes a media job in D.C. or New York, do they develop instant amnesia about how the rest of America thinks?
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
the Cathedral Choral Society with the hymn Come Ye Thankful People Come, playing right now on Lutheran Public Radio. You can listen anytime, day or night, 24/7 to Sacred Music for the World at LutheranPublicRadio.org or on the LPR mobile app. It's the church's music following the course of the church year, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Molly Hemingway is our guest. She's a Fox News contributor, senior editor of The Federalist, author of the book Trump versus the Media, and a recent column titled Months After Media Mockery Poll Finds Americans Agree with Mike Pence's Rules About Women. We're talking about that New York Times poll on male-female workplace relationships. Molly, this is something I've never been able to figure out, but it seems there has to be an explanation. You live and work right there in one of the epicenters of American media. Why can people who are raised in otherwise very sensible parts of the country, when they move to D.C. or New York to take a media job, why do they come down with almost an instant case of amnesia on how the rest of America thinks?
Well, I mean, this is the problem. So you saw even in this poll that people were more likely to protect their marriage or have rules or think it's appropriate to set limits on opposite sex meetings if they lived in the South or the Midwest, if they were female, if they were rural as opposed to city dwellers, if they were evangelical Christians. And these are precisely the groups that are not well represented in newsrooms. And part of that is structural, related to the geographic focus. But it's even more than that. So by that I mean most newsrooms are located in New York or Washington, D.C. The values of Manhattan and the Beltway are not the values of much of the rest of the country. But it's not just that they're geographically separated. It's that the type of people who want to live in these places are different, that they have different values. And so it becomes a reinforcing effect. The geographic limitation also creates an attraction for certain types of people that are just going to be, by definition, at odds. You can't be a rural voter and work for the New York Times very well. It's a very difficult thing to accomplish. Having said that, I think that there are ways that media outlets could try to force some structural changes. You know, after the embarrassment of what happened in 2016, they could have fired some people who did a particularly bad job. Instead, they promoted them. They could have hired people who lived outside of their bubble. I have seen no evidence that they have done that. They could have forced some decentralization in their newsrooms, you know, made a position where you really do have to live outside of the Beltway or outside of Manhattan in a meaningful sense and be in a community, not just sort of being able to comment on the weird people in Iowa or something, but really being a part of a community and reporting from there. I didn't really see any of that. You know, you didn't see people accept responsibility for their failures. You didn't see people stick to pushing facts instead of narratives, such as that Mike Pence is a sexist. And you didn't see structural changes. And that's what you need to have if there will even begin to be a healing between the media and the people they purport to serve.
There is a glaring irony here in especially the initial reporting and commenting on Mike Pence's wanting to protect his marriage in terms of his practice with co-workers. And the irony is Donald Trump, because of course Mike Pence is always a proxy for Donald Trump. The two men appear to be very different. It was just last week, Molly, I think there was a bit of a social media fervor over the fact that in the Oval Office there were reporters watching the president speak with a foreign diplomat, I believe. And in the middle of this conversation, Trump singles out one of the foreign reporters, a female, asks her over to the desk and comments to the person he's talking on the phone about how nice her smile is. And it was interpreted as, you know, he's essentially making a pass at her. Can the media have it both ways on these issues?
I think they would like to have it both ways. I mean, think about how many stories you have of politicians who didn't guard their marriage and getting into major trouble with members of the opposite sex, whether that's voluntary consensual adultery or whether that's sexual harassment that might be litigated. Those are major stories for the media every day. And yet they pretend that if you don't fall into that, if you set up guidelines so that you don't fall into that, that is inexplicable and horrific. And it is interesting how rules on
meetings with opposite-sex people can affect men and women's careers. That is a legitimate thing to explore. At the same time, I don't think we have a media capable of understanding, for instance, that rules that protect marriage in general, or, you know, guidelines, everyone's going to have their own idea about how to protect their marriage or not, but in general, these things help women, and they help children, and they help men. But if you only look at things through this very narrow focus where the only thing that matters to women is career trajectory, and you see that in news coverage day after day, you're not going to be able to see that, in fact, relationships between the sexes are very complex. They are very nuanced. There are dangers and opportunities. The very propagation of the species requires the sexes to interact, and yet there are dangers with the interaction between the sexes that must be guarded against. And I don't think our media are capable of understanding something so complex and nuanced. And they are reflexively opposed to traditional guidelines that developed over millennia to guide these things, which are so, you know, both wonderful and dangerous.
Real quick, two questions. You kind of coin a phrase in here while the term fake news is all over the place. You say fake scandal. How's that different?
Well, it's related because this was treated as a scandal that Mike Pence has certain limitations on, for instance, his drinking when his wife isn't around or on whether he takes private intimate dinners with women who are not his spouse. That was treated as, and it was particularly, there was an attempt to spin it into a major scandal by many media outlets. This was covered extensively across the nation in probably every paper, and it was, you know, around the news repeatedly in terms of the TV news and whatnot. And yet, there was nothing, there was no scandal there. In fact, it was the opposite of scandal. That a person would care about their marriage enough to protect it is not a scandal. So when you treat it as such, and when you treat it as something that must be opposed, I think it's, you know, it's, there's a fakeness there and an inability to see the truth of the complexity of the situation.
We asked your colleague, Terry Mattingly, last week, who is more out of touch with the average American, the New York Times or the Democratic Party leadership? How would you answer that question?
I don't know, because I actually don't see much of a difference between the media and the Democratic Party leadership right now. In some ways, you could see, I mean, there's sort of always been that claim that they're biased and they're liberal. Right now, it seems very much like the media are operating as the communications arm of the Democratic Party. I don't think that's healthy for the media. It's not healthy for the Democratic Party. Certainly not healthy for the country when you can't really find a media outlet that you can trust to just put the news out there in a somewhat impartial way or do a real good faith effort to get both sides of a story or whatnot. So, yeah, I don't see a distinction right now, and hopefully they will change that in the future.
Very interesting. That's exactly what Terry said when asked the question as well.
Interesting.
Molly Hemingway is a Fox News contributor, senior editor of The Federalist, author of the new book Trump versus the Media, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Months After Media Mockery, poll finds Americans agree with Mike Pence's rules about women. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand. And you can follow Molly on Twitter at MZ Hemingway. Molly, thank you.
Thank you.
One of our listeners' favorite guests, Dr. John Kleinig, we've had him on to talk about Leviticus and about holiness and all sorts of things. One of our listeners' favorite guests, Dr. Kleinig, has written a new commentary. Now, his forte is the Old Testament, but they have brought to bear those skills in the Old Testament in a New Testament commentary on the book of Hebrews, which is rooted deeply in the Old Testament. It's a new Concordia commentary on Hebrews. It explores this book in its Old Testament context and centers upon Christ. You will want this commentary for your library. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and ask them for the latest in the Concordia Commentary Series, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Hebrews by Dr. John Kleinig, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of the battle over infant Charlie Gard in the UK. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performance Fitness 618.com.